day, mothers. That you have a very nice day, filled with lots of cards and presents, cake, etc. I want to talk about a mum. She wasn't a very good mum, actually. So, a couple of weeks ago, God told me what he wanted me to speak about this morning. So it was quite a shock, actually. He showed me this book he wanted me to read, and I managed to read most of it, which is good for me, because I'm a busy person. It's a book, it's What is Love, it's called. And it's the story of Hosea. Hosea was a prophet. They say he's a minor prophet, but I think he's a fantastic prophet, actually. I think he doesn't get enough praise and glory as such. But God did something in this man, and this man was really, he was willing to do what God asked him to do. And there's not many people here that would go and marry a prostitute as some boys.
That's a bit sexist there, Mum.
But God wanted to illustrate something massively to the Israelite people. And God's been telling us that he wants in an in-depth relationship as a church with him, individually, not just as a body, but actually personal relationship with him. We all probably are from, understand the era where we used to say, I've got my Jesus, my friend, and I've got a personal relationship with him. But he wants a personal relationship with us, okay? Not just like, oh, he's mine, come to Jesus, and he's mine. He doesn't want that. He wants solid relationship with us. And he shows us this through this book of Hosea, because this poor guy, he had got such patience and compassion, and God said, right, go find a wife. So he goes and chooses a prostitute, because God said he wanted him to choose a prostitute. And he has three children with this lady. Her name is Gomer. And each child she basically abandons and runs back to her prostitution life. And each child is just left with dad. And they... I know from experience, not personal, thank God, but from my dealings with people, what effect that actually has on the children, that dad is not around, it really affects them. And they need the love of a mother and a father. It's important that they have both. And the kids, basically, they got a little bit messed up. But Hosea just kept going. And every time God told him to do something, his relationship and trust that he had in God was, yes, God, I'll do it. And even though he was hurt, because it actually told you that he was hurting, he said, but God, for you, I will do anything. So he actually, even though by all, anybody in their right mind, they would have just said goodbye, I don't want you. But he just kept clinging on to what God was saying. And then, because God said, I want to use you, your life, as an example for me. And you know, we go through circumstances in our lives, and people are watching us and seeing how we behave. what we do in our lives, how we respond in our lives. And are we saying, God, I'm trusting you, or God, it hurts, God, I need this, and God, I need that, or are we saying, God, I trust you completely to be my rock, be my shield, be my strength. In this situation, I'm trusting you and no one else. I'm not looking for solutions in this world. I'm trusting you because you're almighty and you're in charge and you govern my life. You formed me before the foundations of the world even began. You knew what was going to happen in my life, but you promise I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I trust you completely. And this story is not just a story because it actually happened. And then right at the very end of this, very short, minor prophet, God says, right now I need you to speak. But before you speak, I want you to bring your wife out of prostitution and bring her back home. And I don't want you to have any relationships with her, but I want you to lovingly bring her home and be with her. And he does this, and there's a little bit in this, I just want to, because I couldn't find the translation it was from, but there's a verse in chapter 4. An accident with the book and it sort of fell apart, so now it's not being good to me anymore now. So it fell out with me. This is what God says to Israel. It's in chapter 2, verse 18. Showing his love for us, his bride. I will make you my wife. I will be true and faithful. I will answer the prayers of my people Israel, and I will make rain fall on the earth. And the earth will produce corn and grapes and olives, and I will establish my people in the land and make them prosper. I will show love. I will say, you are my people. Chapter 4, verse 1, it says, listen, Israel, to what he says. This is how Israel was behaving. They were behaving like a prostitute. There is no faithfulness or love with you. People do not acknowledge me as God. And they make promises and break them. They lie, murder, steal, and commit adultery. It was the bit where it says they make promises and they break them. You know, it's really easy, isn't it, when we go to a big conference or anything and we just stand there and we make promises to God. And then when we go home, we forget those promises. But you know, he hears. And he says that we behave like Hosea's wife because we make promises, but we break them. He wants us to be faithful, just like he is faithful. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. This is where God commands and asks, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. The Father has asked us to do that, to love him like that, with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our strength. And it was so important that Jesus, when he was asked, what's the greatest thing that you can do? And in Luke chapter 10, verse 27, and Mark 12, verse 30, and Matthew 22, verse 37, it says the same thing, that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul, your strength. Everything about you should love him. I just want Samuel to play something. This is a rabbi that is talking about what love is. Those that don't know what a rabbi is, so he's a Jewish priest, basically.
Love is a word that in our culture has almost lost its meaning. There's a very interesting story about the Rebbe of the culture. We came across a young man who was clearly enjoying a dish of fish that he was eating. And he said, young man, why are you eating that fish? And the man says, because I love fish. He says, oh, you love the fish? That's why you took it out of the water and killed it and boiled it. He said, don't tell me you love the fish. You love yourself. And because the fish tastes good to you, therefore, you took it out of the water and killed it and boiled it. So much of what is love, right, is fish love. Okay? And so, young couple falls in love. Young man, young woman fall in love. What does that mean? That means that he saw in this woman someone who felt could provide him with all his physical and emotional needs. And she felt in this man somebody she feels like she can write. That was love. Huh? But he was looking out for their own needs. It's not love for the other. The other person becomes a vehicle for my gratification. Too much of what is called love is fish love. Right? An external love is not on what I'm going to get, but what I'm going to give. We had an ethicist, Rabbi Dessler, who said, people make a serious mistake in thinking that you give to those whom you love. And the answer is, the real answer is, you love those to whom you give. And his point is, if I give something to you, I'm investing myself in you. And since self-love is a given, everybody loves themselves, now that part of me has become in you, right, there's part of me in you that I love. So, true love is a love of giving, not a love of receiving.
I thought that was interesting because Hosea, for that woman, had not got fish love. And she was not giving him what he needed. But he genuinely loved and cared for that woman. God doesn't love us because of what he can get out of us. He loves us because he loves us. And we need to stop being fish finders and actually be God finders. Because we need to realise that he is not a shopping list God. We need something. God, give me, give me, give me, give me. Relationship isn't about gimme, gimme, gimme. It is two-way. And God has chosen us to be his bride. We are blessed above all. We are blessed above all because we are his bride. I'm going to show you a clip and get Samuel to show you another clip in a bit, not just yet, but I just want to fill you in. We went to a wedding yesterday in Kent, and I said to Ian last night, I says, I loved this wedding because it was just so simple. There was no fancy faffing about or anything. It was a good traditional wedding. It was a proper speeches and no messing or whatever about. It was just straight to the point. We want to be married. We want to be together. We love each other. And we just want God in the centre. And it was very, probably a very expensive affair, but it looked so simple and natural. And it was just a pleasure to actually be there. Absolute pleasure. And they did like a little quiz, right, about what they knew about each other already, which was surprisingly very good, actually, even down to how many A-levels they took and passed or whatever. And he knew what shoe size she took. Men, do you know what your other half takes? What size? Yeah, you did. Good. We'll ask them later. Okay. It was just so good to actually see the genuineness. Sometimes you go to weddings and it's just so much pomp and ceremony, but there's no depth to that wedding. It's all quite superficial, whereas this was so genuine. They genuinely love each other for what they know about each other now, and that they are excited about the journey. And God wants us to be like that. Excited. We're getting married. We're getting married to God. The bride, the church, the people of God are going to a wedding. Woo! Best wedding. It's going to be the most simple wedding. But it's going to be crowded. And it's not going to cost us. Yeah? Except for one thing. And that's our devotion to this relationship that we have with Him. There was a film that somebody spoke about yesterday, and I wanted to show you a clip from that, not just yet, but in a bit. But I'll just fill you in. It's called 50 First Dates. It's what you probably class as a chick flick. But it's about this guy who meets this girl, and she's had a car injury, and she has only got 24-hour recall. So every single day he has to woo her. Every single day he has to start right back again and actually go through everything with her again. God is wooing you and He's wooing me. He doesn't want to have to do it daily, weekly, monthly. But He's wooing us, getting us ready, and showing us more and more about Himself in preparation for that great day when we meet Him face to face and we share the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He has taken great pain and struggle and separation and heartache to get us to that day. You know what it's like, fellas? You know, a few weeks before the wedding, and girls, I know you're exactly the same, but I wasn't actually like that, but it was just weird. But, and you just get that knot in your stomach, oh my goodness, this is for real. What have I done? Yeah? Marriage butterflies. Right, everybody goes through it, supposedly. But God doesn't want us to have butterflies about this marriage. He wants us to go in excited, full of everything about him, full of his joy and all the benefits of him. And he is saying to us that in the story of Hosea, there was this woman who was so shocked, because she'd been used to a lifestyle where she gave herself to everybody. And she realised that going back to Hosea and that family safe environment was a far better place than actually being in the temple of Baal and actually giving herself that way. It was hurting her and she knew it. So she went back, like the prodigal son, she went back to Hosea and he welcomed her in. But he had no relationship with her apart from speaking to her and letting her help the children. But God is showing us that Israel, and us too, even though we're the Gentiles, we have been estranged from God. We were estranged because we were not in the Israelite family. But God has joined us together. And he doesn't want us to be estranged from him in any shape or form. He doesn't want our circumstances to separate us from him. He doesn't want our bodies to separate us from him. He wants us to be united with him. Because on that day, everything is going to change. You know that phrase, all hell's going to be let loose? Well, actually, it's all heaven's going to be let loose.
Yes.
And when heaven is let loose, and Jesus takes his rightful place, and we with him, that is going to be such a great day. And that is something worth working for. That is worth running the race for. That is worth the circumstances of this life, us overcoming them. Samuel's got a friend who texts me as well. This is only second pastor, if I remember. And he lives in London. And his mum's, we prayed for him on the prayer chain the other week. His mum's been very, very ill. And he's let circumstances upset him a little bit. And I just said to him, but God doesn't judge you. He wants to take you through. He wants to take you through your circumstances and he wants to lead you beyond, because he has made you an overcomer, because he has overcome. And that's for all of us. God has made us an overcomer because he has overcome in everything. He has overcome. There are no wormholes or glitches where God's concerned. Yes and no. Yes, he has come to set us free from the bondages of this world. And yes, he will take us through. What the journey might look like is different for everybody. I remember when I was 36, I had a heart attack, and I had 6 weeks off work, and during that time, about the third week, I just said, right, God, what are you doing here? What's happening? And I'm too young to go on yet, so no, please don't take me yet. But I'm ready if you need to take me, but I'm not ready, but really. And we had this long conversation about I was going or whether I was staying. And I stood in front of the television, and there was a God channel on. And he just went, the guy on the screen just went, "And you, yes, you, he's going to heal you." Now, he does that to thousands and thousands of people that are watching, but I actually took that on board. And from that moment, I believed I was completely healed. But 2 years down the line, in the natural, you couldn't see it. But in God's eyes, and through faith that he put inside of me, I knew I was healed. Because I could see it. I could see that vision that we've been singing about this morning. I could see it, and I was no longer overwhelmed by it. And 2 years later, we went to a meeting, and we went to somebody's house, and they were having a meeting, and we just basically crashed it. We didn't mean to crash it, but we did. And they asked us to be prayed for, and he says, he didn't know us. God just gave him a word and says, "There's somebody here. One of you's got a serious heart condition." I looked at it, not heart condition, chest condition. And I just looked at Ian and went, "But it ain't me." And he went, "You're the only one with a heart." And I went, "Oh, oh yeah." And as I went, "Oh yeah," because I'd so believed it that I could see it, and it was tangible to me that it was sorted already. And this guy just put his hand out to me, and before he even touched me, God touched me, and I was on the floor. And I didn't realise, but my heart must have been beating wrong, because I felt it stopped like it did when I had the heart attack. And then it rebooted again. But I got a feeling very different. You see, the point of that is that in my heart and also my head, they connected and they were saying, "You're healed." And sometimes it's because you're still feeling the symptoms, it's hard to actually believe that you've got there. But the thing is, God just says, "You've got the symptoms to praise me in." Because, and each little step is one step nearer to actually gaining that final faith vision that you have. He doesn't want you to give up. He wants you to press in. He wants you to move in him. And a lot of what God said to me was, in my love relationship with him, is you need to stand still and be still. And know that I love you, and that I know what is best for you. We talk a lot about God's love, don't we? About how much he loves us. But what is our response to him? Do we actually love him? It really touched me last year when we went to Faith Camp, and Pastor Colin said something about, do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? And everyone's going, "I love Jesus." I love Jesus. Yeah. I'm a follower. I knew what I'm told. And that's not what God asks. He wants us to love him for who he is, not for what we can get. And I've found so much the last 2 years, whenever I'm praying now, instead of praying about circumstances, I actually am praying about him and lifting him up. And I was saying to God the other day, I want to lift your name up differently and find new ways of expressing how I actually feel about you. Because it's not about what you give me, Lord. It's about who you are. And my relationship with you because of who you are. And I think we do lose that sometimes. That it is. Our relationship should be a relationship. And not we switch God on when we want to switch him on. So we're going to be wooed by this little clip, hopefully. And then we'll pray after. About feeling a bit, but it just sort of